Welcome to today's deep dive. We've got a lot to get into for you today.
Yeah, there's just a ton happening right now.
I mean, just looking at the tech landscape this week, it's wild. Like, we have John Ternus officially taking the helm at Apple.
Right, which is huge news on its own.
Totally.
Yeah.
And immediately rolling out those buttonless 2-nanometer A20 Pro titanium iPhones.
Which, you know, people have been speculating about for years.
Exactly. And on the gaming side, the Nintendo Switch 2 is finally out in the wild, actually running Elden Ring at a solid 60 frames per second.
Unbelievable. I mean,
Yeah.
it only took, what, how many years for portable hardware to catch up?
Too many. Oh, and we can't forget the Faraday 27B model just completely dominating all the local AI benchmarks.
Yeah, local AI is just having a massive moment right now. People want that power on their own devices.
Right. But as massive as all that hardware and local AI news is, our mission for this deep dive today is focused on something else entirely. We're looking at a single explosive source. It's an article from Taking Game Media dated September 9th, 2026.
And the title really just says it all.
Yeah, it's called When Google Earth Became a Satellite Deepfake Factory.
Just a terrifying concept right out of the gate.
It really is. So our goal for you today is to explore how a major tech company managed to destroy 20 years of established digital credibility in just 31 hours.
31 hours, that's nothing.
It's basically a day and a half.
Yeah.
We're going to dissect exactly why the safety guardrails catastrophically failed
Yep.
and uncover what this actually means for your ability to trust the reality of the world you see online. Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah, let's do it. Because to really understand the scale here, we have to look at the timeline of the Nano Banana 2 launch.
Let's set the scene. It's Thursday, July 30th, 2026.
Right.
It's 10 a.m. Pacific time. Google integrates Nano Banana 2, which is their new image generation model, right into the web version of Google Earth.
And, you know, we should mention their stated intent for this was actually pretty practical.
Yeah, it sounded great on paper.
Right. They marketed it as this visualization tool for geographic professionals and urban planners. So, you know, if you wanted to visualize future changes.
Like putting in a new park or seeing how a construction project would look in a specific neighborhood.
Exactly. But the reality of what happened was just chaotic, just 31 hours later.
So we're talking Friday, July 31st, 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Right. By 5 p.m. Friday, Google had to completely pull the plug. They took it offline and posted this massive apology on X.
And the reason they had to dunk it was because there were absolutely no content restrictions.
None. Users just had free rein.
And what did they do with that free rein? They immediately started generating photorealistic, fake images of highly sensitive and catastrophic events.
It was almost instantaneous.
Yeah. And I want to take a second here for an impartiality check. For you listening, we need to explicitly remind you that we are not taking sides on any of these politically charged examples.
Right, whether it's the Middle East or Russia and Ukraine or US politics.
Exactly. We are strictly and impartially reporting on the fabricated images that were detailed in the source material. We're looking at the tech, not endorsing the viewpoints.
And the tech was being used to create some truly alarming stuff.
It really was. People were making images of 9/11 style planes crashing into buildings.
Oh, wow.
They were generating Moscow bombings, massive craters in Gaza hospitals.
Just horrible scenarios.
Yeah, destroyed Iranian nuclear facilities, and even sprawling homeless tent camps right on the White House lawn.
Just designed to cause maximum panic.
It's like imagine handing someone a magic wand, right?
Okay, I'm with you.
And this magic wand is perfectly designed to paint living rooms. It's a great tool, but they immediately take it and use it to paint over historical archives instead.
That's a really good way to put it. You give people the tool to build, and they use it to vandalize.
Right. And the shock here isn't just about what was being faked. I mean, we've had fake images for a while. The real shock is where it was faked.
Yes, because Google Earth is probably the worst possible platform for this to happen on.
It really is. Since 2005, Google Earth has basically been this unshakable pillar of truth for global verification.
It's not just a map for getting directions. It's a tamper-proof tool relied on by journalists and human rights researchers all over the world.
The OSINT community.
Right, open source intelligence.
Yeah.
For OSINT, Google Earth is the gold standard.
They use it to verify military attacks,
Yeah,
right? Like
yeah.
in Ukraine, Gaza, Syria.
Oh, absolutely. And they use it to discover mass graves by comparing before and after satellite shots.
Aww.
They monitor environmental destruction. They track secret military facilities.
Yeah.
Because up until now, you couldn't really fake the satellite data.
And this article includes a really striking quote from Elliot Higgins.
A founder of Bellingcat, yeah.
Right. The guy basically wrote the book on OSINT. He went on Nano Banana 2 and posted a fake drone attack on Moscow.
Just to test it.
Yeah. And his quote was, "This image is very close to what we've seen in Ukraine, Russia, the Middle East, and other war zones. It took only 4 seconds to create."
4 seconds. That is just staggering.
But I have to ask, wait, but how is this different from just using Midjourney or Photoshop? Why was this specific tool so uniquely devastating and so fast?
What's fascinating here is the underlying technology. It's totally different from something like Midjourney.
How so?
Well, Midjourney is a text-to-image model. You type a prompt, and it builds the entire image from scratch, right?
Right. It hallucinates the whole thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Nano Banana 2 uses what's called image-to-image transformation.
Okay, so it starts with a base image.
Yes, and not just any base image. It uses the actual established Google Earth satellite map. So it preserves the original structure perfectly.
Oh, I see. So the roads, the topography.
The shadows, the lighting, all of the real-world geometry is kept completely intact. It's essentially acting like an intelligent Photoshop.
So if I type, like, bombed hospital with smoke, it just blends that seamlessly into the real, verifiable map.
Seamlessly. It matches the existing shadows, the perspective, everything. That's why it looks so undeniably real, because 90% of the image actually is real.
That's terrifying. But didn't Google say they had safety mechanisms for this?
Well, Google's defense was that all these generated images had a Synthid digital watermark.
Synthid? That's like an invisible watermark embedded in the pixels, right?
Right. It's baked into the file. And they claimed it was easily detectable by Gemini or Google Lens. So if you were suspicious, you could just scan it.
But obviously that didn't work.
Not at all. Security researchers, and specifically the folks over at Ars Technica, proved that Synthid was entirely ineffective for how deepfakes actually spread in the real world.
Because people aren't just downloading the raw file and emailing it.
Exactly. The researchers showed that Synthid was instantly bypassed if a user just took a screenshot of a screenshot.
Wait, really? Just a screenshot defeats the watermark?
Yes. Or, even simpler, if you just physically photograph your phone screen with another camera.
Oh, man.
Or if you send the image through apps like Telegram or WhatsApp, which heavily compress the files, the invisible pixel pattern just gets destroyed.
So the safety net was practically useless outside of a sterile lab environment.
Completely useless.
Yeah.
And, you know, this points to a much dangerous pattern with these tech giants.
Yeah.
This whole ship now, fix later mentality.
Oh, yeah. We've seen this movie before. Google's recent history with AI blunders is just...
It's long list.
It really is. I mean, remember back in 2024, the Gemini rollout?
Oh, when it was generating the racially diverse Nazi soldiers.
Yes. But it completely refused to generate white Wehrmacht soldiers. The historical guardrails were just totally inverted.
And then there was the AI search fiasco, also in 2024.
Right, when it started telling users to literally eat rocks for nutrients.
Which is just, I mean, you have to laugh, but it's dangerous.
And then in 2025, they launched that shopping AI tool, and within days, people were using it to create explicit images.
Including images of children.
Yeah, which is just horrific. But to be fair, it's not just a Google problem. It's a chronic industry-wide issue.
Oh, definitely. Look at Elon Musk's Grok. That model generated over 1 million explicit images in just a matter of days.
Yeah. 1 million.
Yeah, because it basically launched without guardrails.
Right.
And OpenAI isn't immune either. They've repeatedly released chatbots that end up generating dangerous info, like bomb-making instructions.
The article actually includes a great quote from a security analyst in The Atlantic about this exact thing.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, they said, "If this technology can truly transform human civilization, as AI executives claim, then perhaps companies should take this responsibility seriously rather than launching a flawed product every week."
That's a really sharp critique.
It is, but, you know, let me push back on that for a second.
Sure.
But isn't this just the cost of rapid innovation? I mean, you have to break things to make progress, right? Or is this just a fundamental lack of responsibility?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, breaking things is fine when you're talking about a social media app. If Twitter goes down, it's annoying.
Right.
But when you are dealing with the foundational layer of global geographical truth, you cannot just ship a beta and see what happens.
Mm.
The permanent real-world damage this rabid innovation leaves behind is massive.
Because even if a feature gets retracted, like Nano Banana 2 was pulled after 31 hours, the damage doesn't just disappear.
Exactly. The trust is gone. And that fallout is what we really need to look at.
Mm.
The long-term loss of trust.
Because now, We have these incredibly dangerous real-world scenarios. The article points out that governments can now just claim that real war crimes are actually AI fake.
Right. If a satellite captures a genuine atrocity, a dictator can just go on TV and say, oh, that's just a Google Earth deepfake. Don't believe it.
Plausible deniability for everyone.
And it affects the financial sector, too. Imagine fake images of destroyed oil facilities circulating on X.
Oh, wow. That would manipulate the financial markets instantly. Algorithms trade on that news before a human even sees it.
Exactly. Millions of dollars could change hands based on a four-second AI generation. And it fundamentally undermines investigative journalism.
So how do we fix it? What are the solutions here?
Well, the OSIN community says the solution now requires multi-source verification.
Meaning they can't just rely on Google Earth anymore.
Right. Researchers now have to cross-reference multiple different satellite networks. They have to use Copernicus Sentinel 2 from Europe.
Okay, so pulling from European space agencies.
Yeah, and they have to buy data from Maxar Technologies and Planet Labs and use NASA WorldView.
That sounds incredibly time-consuming.
It is. They have to combine all that with ground-level video and original file metadata just to prove a single image is real.
Here's where it gets really interesting. It's like we now have to treat digital imagery like a literal crime scene.
Oh, I like that comparison.
Yeah, like we used to just trust the primary security camera. Google Earth was the security camera.
Right.
But now we can't trust it, so we need like multiple independent witnesses, which are all these different international satellites, to corroborate the story.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. And this massive shift has sparked a huge regulatory debate.
Naturally. Where do the laws stand on this right now?
Well, it's fragmented. The EU has the AI Act, which actually requires transparency and risk assessments.
But the U.S. doesn't have anything like that.
No, the U.S. lacks comprehensive federal laws for this.
So what are people proposing?
There are a few ideas. Some are calling for mandatory pre-launch security testing, so companies would have to prove a tool is safe before releasing it.
That seems like common sense.
You'd think. Others are pushing for strict legal liability for the companies if their tools are used to cause real-world harm.
Hit them in the wallet.
Exactly. And some are just saying we need to ban these high-risk tools altogether, that maybe the public just shouldn't have access to photorealistic satellite manipulation.
But Google clearly isn't planning on abandoning this. The article notes their official statement said they are working on stronger guardrails.
Which heavily implies Nano Banana is coming back.
Oh, 100%. They're just going to try and build a better fence.
But this raises an important question. Can any amount of corporate guardrails truly stop malicious human intent?
Based on what we've seen, probably not.
Right. History shows us that limitations, whether they are watermarks or content filters, are almost always bypassed eventually.
It's an arms race, and the bad actors only have to get lucky once to cause a disaster.
Exactly.
So, just to wrap this all up for you listening, in the span of just 31 hours, a 20-year-old pillar of objective truth was completely dismantled.
It really was. We've entered an era where trusting a single digital source is just a relic of the past.
It's over. We need a totally new level of public education and skepticism now. And I want to leave you with a final thought today, something that wasn't explicitly discussed in the text, but really builds on this whole situation.
Okay, let's hear it.
If it took just one day for a public tool to permanently erode our trust in the literal map of our planet from above, what happens to our trust in each other?
Oh, man.
Seriously, think about it. When this untraceable real-time AI manipulation becomes a seamless part of our daily phone calls.
Or live video chats.
Exactly. If we can't trust the streets and the buildings we're looking at, how long until we can't trust the face and the voice of our own family members on a screen?
That is a terrifying prospect.
Yeah.
But it's exactly where this is heading.
It really is. Now, if you want to understand the full mechanics of how this happened, you really need to read the original piece. We strongly encourage you to visit tackinggame.com to explore the exclusive print and archive edition of this story.
There's so much more detail in there about the specific technical failures. It's a must read.
It really is. Plus, tackinggame.com has tons of other deep dive reporting you won't want to miss. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. Stay skeptical out there, and we'll catch you next time.